Tonight, the vice presidential candidates, Mike Pence and Kamala Harris, will participate in their first and only debate. And joining us now is the guy who debated Pence last time around in 2016, Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia. Senator, welcome back.
Jeremy, good to be with you guys. Thanks.
Well, and first of all, given the fact that the president of the United States has COVID-19 and he has been in somewhat close contact, at least over the last week, with the vice president, should this debate even be taking place tonight?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, I know I saw that Dr. Redfield, the head of the CDC, said the contact was not so close that it should prohibit the debate from going forward. I know that Kamala Harris is raring to go, but it does seem like all these rules are being upended. I am at least glad that the debate organizers are installing plexiglass shields and moving Kamala and the vice president farther apart so they don't pose any danger to each other or anybody else.
You were the last person to debate Vice President Pence in a forum like this. What does Senator Harris need to do tonight, do you think?
You know, she's going to do fine. I mean, as we know, working with Senator Harris in the Senate, she does very, very well in these settings. But Mike Pence is a great debater. Remember, he was a radio talk show guy before he was in politics. So he can look in a camera and deliver a line, you know, even if it's not necessarily a truthful one, but he can do it with a great deal of sincerity. I would say this, a key feature of tonight's debate that was different than 2016 was in 2016, neither party was the incumbent. So Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were each making their case, and their vice presidential nominees were too, about here's what we'll do if we're in office. This debate, there's an incumbent administration. The Trump-Pence administration has had 4 years, and so Kamala Harris, the prosecutor, has a lot of evidence. It's not just about what you're going to do. Well, let's look at what you've done. We have deaths at an unprecedented scale because of coronavirus. We've lost 10 million jobs since March. There's social division unlike any time since the 1960s. Do you want 4 more years of that, or would you like to return to, you know, competence and character and compassion? So I think she needs to marshal the evidence, and she's got plenty of it, and she's used to doing that as a longtime, prosecutor and effective senator in these committee hearings, as we've seen her.
This is not the only big news happening today, so let me just ask you about a couple of other things. We got that series of tweets from President Trump yesterday saying that he doesn't want to do any more negotiations on more relief, economic relief for people affected by the pandemic until after the election. What do you think about that? Do you have any hope after that series of tweets that Congress and the president can reach a deal on COVID-19 relief before the election?
President Trump killed that yesterday. He did that announcement right when the Speaker Pelosi and Steve Mnuchin were scheduled to talk to try to further narrow down differences. And we were hopeful we would get there. Remember, we had the experience in March in the Senate of the Republicans offering a partisan proposal on a Sunday that we voted down. But once we voted that down, that then led to significant discussions, and we got a deal that was good for American people, small businesses, hospital states. Why the president would come out of the hospital and just suddenly decide he wanted to terminate negotiations the same day that the Fed chief, Jay Powell, was saying, you've got to do another bill and it should be bigger, not smaller. We're still trying to figure out why the president cut off all discussions.
Well, so do you think, though, that since he did that, that in fact there wouldn't be able to be a COVID relief bill until after the inauguration, because if you're in a lame duck session and the president is reelected, you're still going to have a divided Congress until January. And if the president is not reelected and Joe Biden becomes the president, he's not going to take office till January. So does this mean we have to wait now until January for any kind of economic relief coming from Washington?
Jeremy, here's my sense. The American public overwhelmingly want us to do another COVID bill. They want us to wait till after the election on the Supreme Court, but they want us to do a COVID bill right now. If President Trump is reelected, he'll want another bill for his own sake. If Joe Biden is elected, I don't think the Senate GOP is going to be thinking that much about President Trump. They're going to be thinking about their own elections in 2022 and 2024, and they're going to be listening to the citizens. I think the odds are high we'll be getting a COVID bill in November or December. It's just a shame that we've had to wait. Remember, the House passed the fifth bill, the HEROES Act, in May. Why we would have to wait for 6 months to do it is beyond me.
And what about the Supreme Court nomination of Amy Coney Barrett? You're not on the Judiciary Committee, but do you think Republicans are going to be able to get her onto the Supreme Court before the election?
If they want to break the promise that they made to us and the American public that in a presidential election year, you should wait till after the election and let the people decide. They can do that, Jeremy.
They seem to be saying that they do want to break that promise.
Yes. If they are really, you know, just we've got to do this. And actually, it's not the election day that's the key. What's the key is November 10th, the day that the Supreme Court takes up the Affordable Care Act case. They're rushing this nomination because they want to ensure that they can kill the Affordable Care Act and take health insurance away from millions and millions. This is what they've tried to do since the first day President Trump was in office. So if they are just absolutely dedicated to having her in the seat on November 10th to kill the Affordable Care Act, they can do it. However, there's always a chance that something during the Judiciary Committee hearings could cause someone to rethink, do we really need to rush this? I think it's unlikely, but it's not a zero chance. And so I know my Judiciary Committee colleagues are working real hard to illuminate the kinds of things that would make other senators and the American public wary about rushing.
That is Senator Tim Kaine, a Democrat of Virginia, and the last person to debate Vice President Mike Pence in the vice presidential debate. Senator, thank you for joining us.
Jeremy, good to be back. Thanks.
And tonight's debate starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time. It is going to be unlike any we've seen, in part because there will be plexiglass separating the candidates.